From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message dealing with the sanctification of the Spirit. From the text in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we see that it is the Holy Spirit who accomplishes the work of sanctification, or holiness, in the believer. As Dr. Cairns has shown, holiness is a characteristic of every Christian without exception. It affects every area of his life, and it goes on all through his earthly life. Today, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that sanctification is a godly work carried out specifically by the Holy Spirit. We must be careful to avoid two extremes in this area. On the one hand, the modernistic fallacy that holiness is simply some kind of self-improvement. The other error is that of so-called sinless perfection, implying that sanctification is some kind of second blessing obtained all at once. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to call attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today, he deals with the matter of deciding for Christ.
Decisions, decisions, decisions. We face them every day. Some important, some not so important. People worry about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to put on? Where am I going to work? Where am I going to go to school? Perhaps a whole lot more important, who am I going to marry? These are decisions. We face them, as I say, every day. But one decision stands out above all the rest. It's the decision of eternal significance. Pontius Pilate asked, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What shall I do with Jesus? Now, that's a perpetually relevant question. Life's greatest question. So many things force themselves between you and coming to Christ. People say, I'm too busy. I have too many things in my mind. When I have this looked after, the other thing looked after, when I've got things in order. In the words of Felix, when I have a convenient season, I will come to Christ. Of course, that convenient season rarely, if ever, comes. So many things then force themselves between a man or a woman and their coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But never forget, deciding for Christ is the most important decision you will ever have to take. Nothing compares with it. Nothing is even remotely as important as that decision. Joshua, when he was just about to go into eternity as an old man, a wise man, a great leader, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the command of Scripture. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What will you do with Jesus? It's obvious you must do something with him. You've heard about him. You can't just dismiss him. He is the Son of God. He lived. He died. He rose again from the dead. Now we can recite those as facts, and they are facts. But you can't just recite them and forget about them as if I had recited the days of the week. Think of it. He died. And according to the Scriptures, as the Bible had promised and as he himself had promised, he rose again from the dead. Now let that sink in. If you really understand that that is the truth, You can't just dismiss it and go on living as if nothing had ever happened. You must do something with Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior of sinners, the only true Lord and Master of the life, the Lord of life and death. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you must do something with him. What will you do with Jesus? What will your decision be? Are you deciding against Christ? Are you going along with the enemy who still wants to crucify Christ, reject Christ? Or today, will you take your stand with Joshua and with the whole host of the saints of God? You choose as you will, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Someday you'll do.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
There is a continual battle raging against the spiritual progress of the child of God, as hell would mount its armaments against us and let loose every fury of which it's capable in order to dethrone holiness from our heart and in order to waylay us and get us into sin. And in the midst of that battle, sadly, we must confess many personal failures, reverses, and weaknesses. But as that is going on, with the Spirit of God continually working in our minds, in our hearts, in our consciences, in every part of our lives, with the devil opposing at every step and turn, with the flesh acting like a Trojan horse to seek to open up the gates to the devil, nonetheless, this work of sanctification never ceases in the believer until finally God brings us home to glory. It is an intensive work. Now, this is the work which the Holy Spirit of God is constantly carrying out in the lives of believers. And it's this peculiar work of the Spirit that I want us to consider today. And in doing so, I'm going to make five very, very simple and basic observations. The first one about the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification within us. The first thing I say is this, that it is a godly work. Now, by that, I don't merely mean that it produces godliness. It does. But I mean this word very strictly. It is a work of God. A work of God which in its turn produces godliness and enables the child of God to work and live in a godly fashion. It is specifically in Scripture said to be not only the work of God, but the work of the Spirit of God. I have quoted to you some scriptures we read in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. That we are changed into the image of Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Spirit of God who effects holiness in the life. I have quoted 1 Peter 1 and 2 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. It is the sanctification of the Spirit. The sanctification which is produced by the Spirit. Now, when you get into this matter of how to be holy, there are two great extremes. On the one hand, you have the notions of modernists. And they would really talk about self-improvement. They tell you to have a good look at yourself. Now, I'm calling this modernism, because that's where it originated. But I want you to listen to the description of it very carefully, and you're going to make a sad discovery that this form of sanctification is not now limited to liberal churches. It's not just preached by modernistic preachers, but sadly modernism has been taken over by evangelicalism, aye, and even by some branches of fundamentalism, and it's trotted out as the way to be holy. Modernism tells you to look within yourself, to estimate your strengths and your weaknesses, to write out even your faults, and to consider how best they can be overcome. And by recognizing your weaknesses, you'll be able, first of all, to come to terms with yourself and accept yourself as you are. Have you ever heard that jargon? That's the jargon of almost every seminar that's cursing America today. That's the jargon of the neo-evangelical camp. That's the jargon of misled fundamentalist preachers who don't know the first thing about biblical sanctification. Self-improvement. Come to the place where recognizing your strengths and weaknesses, you can first of all accept yourself, and then by applying the proper psychological principles, you can begin to lessen your weaknesses and make much of your strengths. I want to say to you today that no process of self-improvement is worthy of the name of sanctification. That's modernism. And I'm using the term deliberately because I don't care whether it is a Bible believer who preaches this or a Unitarian. It's still modernism. And it should be recognized for what it is. And it ought to be excluded from the Christian pulpit. Then there is the other extreme. In modernism, it's all human activity. There's no mystery about it. There's no miracle about it. There's no special grace about it. It's all human activity. Now, the other extreme would be what some have looked on as the extreme Keswick position. Now, let me just stop off here. I'm not going to spend my time having a strong assault on the Keswick movement. There have been some people who have gone far too far in that movement and done and said foolish things. But for the most part, they have been a holy living people and a people who have sought to please their God. I think they have gone wrong in many areas of theology. But I've got to thank God for the kind of lives that the most of them have led. So I'm not going to call them heretics, and I'm not equating them with modernists. But some of the Keswick preachers became very extreme, and they held to the position in absolute antagonism to modernism, which said it's all human activity, of saying there's no human activity. Total passivity. They spoke of this, that you get saved instantaneously. You get justified instantaneously. And they say equally, you get sanctified instantaneously. They will often speak of this as the second blessing.
I have heard many, many people back in Northern Ireland testify, I got saved on the 10th day of May, 1955. I got sanctified on the first day of September, 1958. That sort of thing. They got sanctified. And in that sanctification, the root of sin was eradicated, ripped out, and they were left, as one Keswick writer put it, with easy holiness. In fact, he went so far as to say, if it's not easy, it's not right. If you don't overcome with ease, you're not overcoming at all. You may as well not overcome. Well, now, of course, that's going to great extremes. And they're both wrong. They're both wrong. The Bible says, Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's human activity. Now, he's not speaking about working to be saved. He's talking about working because you are saved. Any man that wants to work to be saved will be damned. But work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's verse 12. Verse 13. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You work because God works. That's why in Scripture sanctification is called the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and following. I'm not going into that passage today. As the Lord wills, we may look at that more fully in another occasion. But sanctification, love, joy, peace, etc. These, my friend, are the fruit, not the fruits. The fruit of the Spirit. They are the production of the Holy Spirit within the life. In John 15, the fruit that a believer bears is likened to the fruit that is born on a branch of a vine. It is not the production of the branch in itself. It is the production of the vine through the branch. And that is the picture of biblical sanctification. Now it's essential for Christians to get a good, solid grasp of this. We do sin. It would be nice to say that we don't sin. It would be nice to say it, that is, if it were true. There are a lot of people say it. I remember a man near Ballymoney. And he did a very crazy thing. He had been talking to a friend of mine, Albert McCauley, and telling him he hadn't sinned for 20 years. Not for 20 years. He had never sinned in word, thought, deed, sins of omission, commission. Anything else? He had not sinned for 20 years. Albert used to drive our church bus picking up kids for Sunday school in a country area, and the road was very narrow. And this man drove in a very foolish way on the blind side of the bus, and he nearly caused an accident. There was no accident, but quick as a flash Sunday morning, he was out of that car, slammed the door, nearly took it off its hinges, come roaring up to the bus with the steam belching out of his ears, and his words were tumbling forth in a torrent of abuse and anger and fury. Then he saw the driver was Albert McCauley, the man he had just told a little while before, I haven't sinned for 20 years. And man, he was looking for a little hole to get buried in. It's easy to say we haven't sinned. It would be nice to say it if it were true. But sadly we do sin. Oh yes, every Christian has new life. But as one man I read said, sadly, very often we seem to be in a very sickly condition. Indeed, there are times in Christians' lives when you would begin to wonder if the life has not died out. Had you looked at the Corinthian Christians in Paul's day, you'd have had to wonder, were these people ever saved? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, you are carnal. Man, I want to tell you that that is an awful indictment. and that you look across American Christianity today, and that you look across British Christianity today, and Western European Christianity today, you look at a people who have every advantage. But by and large, they're using those advantages merely for the pleasures of the flesh. And you've got to say you're carnal. The biggest indictment of Western Christianity, when a man like Georgi Vins comes out of Russia, he could say, I would rather be in Russia than in America. Just from a personal standpoint. Not because Russia's a better country. Not because he's not grateful for the hospitality of America and the base it gives to help the Russian Christians. No, no, no. But because in Eastern Europe you've got a people who have nothing but Christ to live for. In America and in Britain you've got a people who name the name of Jesus and they're carnal. And they care for little except a show.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.